I did not know I would be successful.
Persistence. If you want to get better, you got to keep trying to get better.
The support system is huge because if you don't have that support system echoing in an echo chamber every single day, you're going to be in the back of the mind thinking like, am I doing something wrong?
Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point of today's episode, episode 74, is Nick Stanizak, the co-founder and partner of Veal Med Spa, which has expanded through franchising to over 60 locations, nearly 70, with hundreds more in the works, and also the co-founder of Balanced Pilates, where we are now in this beautiful setting. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me.
I'm looking really excited. My first question for you, Nick.
Yes.
What is the best thing that there is to know about you?
The best thing to know about me is I'm a hard worker. Hard worker. I will give everything it takes to make something successful. I'm always willing to roll my sleeves up, get dirty, do all the things that are necessary to get to the end point. And I'm also just a very honest and ethical person to work with, right? So my brother and I always said, we always do business on a deal, on a handshake, right? And we have stuck to it we have one specific partner of ours. His name is Harish. We've always done business on a handshake and everything just agrees that way, right? And I think when you do stuff like that, everything kind of follows successfully after that. If people can trust you, if people can, you know, trust your word, then you'll continue to grow together fluently. So
how do you know that you could trust them?
It takes a lot, honestly. I think it's just you kind of learn a lot about the people that you do business with, and you learn what they're willing to do and what they're, you know, are they willing to roll their sleeves up and do things like that, right? And I think that shows a lot about their personality as well. And it's just something that I've felt that is important, because I think today's world is messy when it comes to doing businesses, right? And if you can really do business on a handshake, you're going to be super successful because you don't ever have to worry about the person that's going to come after you in the back, right? So it happens. It's happened to Joe and I before. And people have taken things from us and done things. And, you know, we do our best to be the better person of it all, right? So
now, Nick, prior to these handshakes, you started in the tech world. How did you know that you would be successful in this world, in the med spa wellness space?
Great question. I did not know. I did not know I would be successful. So I grew up in the tech world, as you said. I was a consultant for Big Four firms. I just ended my, you know, long-term career with Ernst & Young. And, you know, doing retail is so different, so different. I mean, you're completely opposite. You're talking big businesses all the way down to now a small business, right? And in 2020, we had opened up one of our spas in Fairlawn, Ohio. Okay. The one in Strongsville was already operating and it was doing well. And I learned the business a little bit, but I never really understood what it took to open the business. In Fairlawn, we opened in February of 2020, which then shut down a month later. And fast forward through the COVID time where we finally were able to open back up, we ended up parting ways with a manager at that time. And I was literally in the spa full-time almost, learning the business, coaching the people that were there, and really creating relationships with the guests, right? And then, you know, I was forced to learn. Joe will probably tell you the same thing. Same with my sister. My wife is like, you put something in front of me, whatever it is, I'll figure it out. Just because I have to, right? There was a guy that we did business with a long time ago with a tech company that we started to do. And, I remember at one point in time, we were unfortunately in a lawsuit with them. And he had said something like, I did this because I knew you couldn't. And so what I ended up doing then is I learned how to program, you know, Python as an example, and built a product that would actually compete with them, right?
True.
Because he told me I couldn't do it, right? So that's like type of mentality that I have is I learn things because I have to more than I want to, right? And it works out really well.
that ties into that whole rolling up the sleeves idea. You got 100% in and said, I need to figure this out.
100%.
How important is that adaptability piece in business, right? You just opened, a month later, you have to shut it down. And you guys managed to see the end of it. Yeah. So you had the ability to pivot. How did you adapt a mindset, and how important is that?
Like during COVID, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In business, that's one specific one, but it's constant, right? Like, yeah. The challenges are constant.
Challenges are always constant. COVID was a great example, right? COVID, it was actually the beginning stages of VO's franchising history, right? And so in the beginning stages of that, we're all like, what is going on? Like, this is not good. And then fast forward to like July of that year, essentially everything started to kind of take off. We had a lot of different gripes with different people, like what are we going to do and things like that. There were some disagreements, but realizing that in July of August of that year, literally things started to take off in the med spa world and aesthetics and things like that. And so VO actually took a pretty big launch. And fast forward, 4 years later or so, 5 years later now, say, oh, 6 years later now, you know, we're the largest med spa franchise in the country, right? So it goes to show you, like, if you just keep getting over those hurdles, and I just talked to my brother about this morning, is like every little hurdle, you just got to keep jumping over it, right? Eventually you'll get to the finish line and do what you want to do. And there's always going to be hurdles in business, right? Whether it's, an injector leaves us at a spa and she goes to another spa, whether a manager does something or whatever have you, they're always going to have these little hurdles. And you just have to work with your partners and work with your team to overcome them, right? And it's very possible.
Totally. They're all
good. You have to have a good mindset, and sometimes you need level set. Called my brother out last night. He's like, he level set me again. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. Like, things will be better, So yeah,
it is. Having good people in your corner is so important.
1000%.
And they're all opportunities for growth.
Yes.
In order to expand throughout the country, you must have areaed down. You must have nailed down areas that were better than others. How do you decide what would be a successful location for this practice?
So actually our team at VO handled all of that. So they have like a whole program that figures out where good locations are, and they have good real estate agents and things like that. So that's actually figured out by like a demographic type software, and they figure out where people should go, right? So the first couple we made, I think you probably, if you looked at like where Fairlawn is and where some of these other locations are, they're not like A locations, but they do very, very well, right? And so we try to balance between like an A location and a C location, try to find something that really works. And you don't have to overpay for real estate either,
Yeah, it's perfect. So it makes sense to have them all over too, because You need people that can travel. And that's what's funny about it. When you say the Fairlawn piece, and for our audience that may be unfamiliar, it's not necessarily close to any A tier area.
Exactly.
So it's kind of
everything. Exactly. I mean, and it's somewhat comical because you hear it all the time. They're like, oh, well, this is a really, bad location or something. You're like, well, Fairlawn is not the ideal location. However, it's more about what you do versus where you are, right? And so the things that you offer, the services that you offer, the relationships that you create, the culture that you have, that is going to create the success, not just because you're in a great location, And we've said that about here. Yes, we're in a great location at Balance, but It's not about where we are. It's about the culture we have here. It's about the workout that we have. The partners are like, when we started, it was, my wife and I were like, hey, let's go and do a Pilates studio, right? And I didn't know anything about Pilates. So going back to rolling your sleeves off, figuring out Pilates. And it's like, where do we go? What kind of location do we want? And we always would say, it's not about the location. It's about the workout that people are going to come to, right? So
to that point, too, tying back to the med spas a little bit and the things that you do in a world that, as you mentioned, has grown so much over the last, call it 10 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's new med spas, even you just travel around town, popping up in different spots all over. What is it about VO that sets you all apart?
I would say it's our family-like experience. We treat everybody like family. At least that's how we always have, right? It's people that come through the door are, first of all, they're coming in very vulnerable. They're coming in anxious sometimes, like they have something wrong usually, right? Something is they don't like and they want it fixed or corrected. Or then you have the other side, it's more preventative, right? Mm-hmm. And so our big thing is like treating them as a client that, wants to be successful in their journey of aesthetics versus like a client that's just coming in to give us money.
Sure.
Right? We don't want that that culture. And I think that sets us apart from a lot of our competitors.
Anytime that you can take it from being transactional to more of an 100%. Immersive experience, I feel like you've bridged that gap.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, the transactional piece somehow needs to be pulled out of that, right? There is a transaction. Yes, we understand that it's a business, right? However, the reason there's a transaction is deeper than that. Of like, why do people come? And they have some vulnerable aspect that they want to take care of, or they want some preventative care.
I feel like you see that across the board too. Like,
absolutely.
Take Lululemon, for example, right? Yeah. You have people that are just diehard Lululemon people. And oftentimes it's because of that policy that if something rips, for example, by the way, not an ad, but if something rips for an example, you could take it back and they're like, yeah, here's a brand new of whatever it was that you had bought from them. That it creates that, or diminishes maybe that transactional piece.
100%. Yep.
You mentioned balance.
Yeah.
So your Pilates studio here in Avon, Ohio, you guys opened maybe 3 weeks ago and you touted over 100 new members in the first 2.5 weeks. Talk to me about that process and what made it so successful off the rip.
So I think it's honestly the experience that they get when they walk in here, right? So certainly you can't see everything in here, but our studio is built to be a high-end looking studio, right? When we had we went through so many designs. And the first design looked like it was like out of a 90s magazine. And we're like, guys, this is not going to work. Like, it's not going to work. Neon lights. Like, it's just like, it was not going to work. And so we ended up going with a firm in the area, HSB Design. And it was a recommendation that we had gotten. And I'm not kidding you. They hit it out of the park first time. Wow. We got the pictures. We're like, done. We don't even need any corrections, right? There was minimal corrections, if any, but like for the most part, minimal corrections. So we're talking, we always wanted a studio that looks like it's $1 million studio that is not, you know, it's not, truthfully, it's not, right? And so we want people to think that and feel that when they come in. And then thankfully my sister, when we started building this out, we were going in the wrong direction. Like I told you, I knew nothing about Pilates at all. And we started going down the wrong direction of reformers. And my sister's like, yeah, stop. You can't use those reformers. And I'm like, why? And so she ended up finding these custom reformers. She's like, you need to have these because we're the type of Pilates we're doing. So it goes to show you, like, all the team players come into play and help out. And at the end of the day, you know, we knew nothing about it. And we knew it would be successful just because of who we had, right? Touted a few, like you said, 100 members in the first 2.5 weeks. And we are continuing to grow. We are the only modern Pilates in the area. As of right now, in this direct area, there's some others in the city of Cleveland, but as of right now, we're the only modern Pilates in the area. So we're more of an intense workout, time under tension, versus your classical Pilates, or even like your Legree. Legree is more intense too, but this is a little bit different than that as well. So it's like Pilates-like movements on a reformer for a high-intensity workout.
It's fitting entirely into that familial space. You want to walk into, say, your family's house and feel comfortable and know that you belong there.
Yep. Exactly.
What are the strategies, Nick, that you employ in a situation like this where you're starting something new or you're trying to land a deal or you have to hire a team that's going to buy into that mission? What are those strategies?
Finding the right people is probably the hardest thing, right? To be honest, like when we started, it was probably one of the hardest things to do is to find people that wanted to actually be instructors and people that actually had maybe some background in Pilates or background in workouts or anything like that. So trying to find the instructors was hard. Finding Lexi, who's our manager here, finding my sister, who's going to be our manager in Strongsville, that was honestly the easy part, right? Finding people with personalities. You haven't met my sister? She's got a personality through the roof, right? And so finding people with personalities is the key part of having a good management team. Finding the instructors was hard. So you just have to honestly go out, keep interviewing, keep talking to people, and learn the type of folks that you want to represent the company in front of a guest. And that goes same thing with VO. It goes same with balance, goes with any company, right? Are you willing and able to go in front of a client, have a tough conversation if you had to have a tough conversation? Are you comfortable enough to coach them in their position? You know, they're getting on these reformers, they're getting in different positions. Are you comfortable adjusting them, doing things like that to make sure that they're going to have a good workout? And understanding that you're not going to please everybody, right? And they have to be okay with that, because we're in a world of someone's going to be upset about something, and you have to understand that it's okay, Right.
Truth.
Yeah. I keep hearing persistency and consistency. Throughout all of this, which again ties into rolling up the sleeves. It ties into really building something. And that notion from the story that you shared earlier of, you don't believe I can do this, so watch me.
Yeah. My wife will tell you the same thing. She's like, you're the type of person that will always do that. And thank God I have her support, because some days she's probably like, oh dear God, Nick, like
another
project. If you ask my wife about the project, she's like, you got it. You can do it. You know? So, I mean, from everything from doing our basement to backyard to building businesses. So
how did you learn that value of persistency or of being consistent?
Yeah.
Because that's not, as much as there's a zeal or like a go-getterness that can be innate, I don't think actually being able to or having the tact to put that into motion is inherent as much as it's learned.
That's a great question. My parents obviously insisted this persistent nature in our brains, right? And you'll see it in my brother, you'll see it in my sister. They built that into our heads, right? We all grew up as swimmers. And I like to say that, you know, swimming is one of those sports where, like, if you stop for a day, you're going to go, you take two steps back, right? So there's always this persistent nature with swimming. You're always by yourself. You're kind of focused. And it just created this culture in us of persistence. If you want to get better, you got to keep trying to get better, right? So like I said, my parents are probably a big part of that. And then also I grew up loving school. I did very well in school. I loved school. I loved going to school. I hated to be in trouble. So probably a little bit of a goody two shoe. I did get in trouble, but again, I did not like that. Right. And so, I think that creates this consistency with the persistence part of it, because if I don't continue to do these things, and if I don't continue to be persistent, and I don't continue to drive forward, then something else is going to happen that I really don't like. Right. So, I would say that's probably the biggest, most important thing that I've learned is, like, if you're not persistent, you're going to do something that you don't like.
I find it fascinating that you like school. It doesn't surprise you, but it's fascinating because it comes out now in your endeavors, in the way that you keep picking up new opportunities, picking up new business and finding out more about them and learning and learning and learning. That ongoing desire for knowledge and then to put it into practice is...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're learning every single day in these businesses. Every single day you're learning something new. And if you don't, then you're going to fall behind. So
you put something on LinkedIn that I wanted to read to our audience. So Nick posted, quote, one of the biggest mistakes you can make in any business. Do you know what the rest is?
I don't remember what I said.
One of the biggest mistakes you can make in any business is not listening to the people you work for.
Yes.
How important are mentors, Nick? And what is the best lesson that you have learned from someone that you listen to?
Yeah. So what was the questions?
Basically, let's start here. What's the best lesson that you've learned from someone that you listen to?
Yeah. So the best lesson I have learned is to listen. One of the specific things in there is listen to the people that you work for, mm-hmm. right? So I grew up in the consulting world, and a lot of times, a lot of consultants will go and force their opinion on their clients, right? This is what you hired us to do this. You need to listen to us, right? But there's a portion of that that you also need to listen back, because you want to understand why they're maybe going in a different direction or doing something different. You want to understand them, right? When it got into franchising, franchising was, hey, you work for the franchisees, and the franchisees have needs and they have wants and all the things, and you have to listen to what they want, right? Because every decision that the corporation makes is because they want the franchisees to do better. However, every decision you make may impact them, and negatively or positively, right? So one of our guys that works in operations, his name's Anthony Kurtz, he had said something like, understanding that every dollar that the franchisee spent needs to feel like your own money spent, right? And that's going to create some type of your value of, like, hey, how do we make sure that they understand that we care about them, right? Again, you work for them, not they work for you, kind of thing. So same thing goes with any business, any job or anything like that. You want to make sure you're listening. Marriage, whatever it is, always be listening to the people that work for, right? So
It seems, and the reason I bring it up now is because it seems it ties in directly with the idea of constantly learning.
Yes.
If the problem with a blanket policy is that there's so many people that fall under the blanket policy, or so many businesses, for example, or franchises that don't necessarily benefit from that. So there have to be different ways to tweak it, which is where the listening piece comes into it.
1,000%. And if you don't, it's like if you don't listen to your managers, right? Lexi calls me, whoever calls me says, hey, there's something going on. I don't like this way, or I don't want to do it this way, or whatever. If you don't listen and you just force that opinion upon them, A, it creates a bad culture. And B, you may be missing something that she's actually seeing, right? And so listening to them is important.
Your style of leadership seems to be one that is pretty servile oriented, pretty, again, familial. How did you establish that style for both Balance as a co-founder and a VO?
It took time. I mean, there are some sides of it that's like you have to, you know, when you talk about management too, there are some pieces and portions where like, no, we have to do this, right? The unfortunate side of management is like, there are some decisions that you have to make financially, reasons why you have to do them, right? The other side of it is just, I think it creates a good culture. If you do listen, right? So you got to have that give and take relationship. You have to have some listening capability to make it successful. Just like in marriage, you have to listen just to make that successful as well. If you don't listen, if you don't, you know, read your cues and all the things like that, like you're not going to have success in marriage. You're not going to have success in business. You're not going to have success in anything. So it did take me some time to have that little bit of a leadership change, especially because I was always an employee, right? I was always an employee of a business where you almost knew what you had to do, right? And it wasn't so much listening. I listened as a consultant to clients and things like that. But for the most part, I was directed at like, this is what you got to do. These are the goals you got to hit, so on and so forth. Owning a business is a little bit different. So you have the culture to build yourself. And so listening that and having that give and take relationship is important.
Do you think everyone could be a leader?
Yeah, I think deep down everybody can. Absolutely. I think it just takes time to realize what you want to lead in, right? Because it could be anything. And I think anybody can learn that if they really put their heart to it.
So is the inhibitor the time, or is the inhibitor something else?
I don't want to say time. I don't think time is the inhibitor on anything. Because I think, and I hear this all the time, people are like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And yes, I get it. But everybody can find time to do something, right? Everybody can find time to do something. Most importantly, I think everybody should find time to spend time with their friends and family, right? But everybody can find time to do the things that they want to do and learn and be better and grow and all the stuff, right? Whether it's going to the gym in the morning, whether it's going on a walk, whatever it is, anybody can be better. Can anybody be a leader? Absolutely. You just have to unlock that capability. You have to trust yourself. You have to believe in yourself. Like I said, I knew nothing about VO Med Spa when it started, right? I knew nothing about aesthetics. When we did Balance, I knew nothing about Pilates. And you just have to learn. And if you can learn, then you could start to coach others as well on what to learn and how to do it, right? So absolutely, anybody could be a leader. You just have to really like trust yourself and be willing to learn.
Tying into trusting yourself and also pairing it with listening, there's an inherent balance of, okay, this is positive feedback that I could take something from, even if it's constructive, and this is maybe just noise. How do you as a business owner navigate what is just noise and then what is feedback or criticism that is actually beneficial for you?
Oh, man. We get a lot of noise. A lot of noise. And I mentioned it earlier, you know, not everybody's ever going to be happy with everything, right? And that's, to me, is the noise. The workout's too hard, or I showed up late and they already started, or, I got charged a late fee and I don't think I should get in charge a late fee. And it's just like, that's the noise to me, right? The stuff that you actually have to focus on is if it's consistently the same issue over and over and over, right? And it's more of a negative feedback towards whatever you're doing, right? Maybe it's somebody was mad at me and someone wasn't very nice to me at the front desk, or somebody hung up on me, or you know, the music is too loud and I can't hear myself working out, and you hear this over and over and over, then you have to make an adjustment, right? Many times, I try to tell the teams this too, is you're not going to please everybody. That's the noise, right? Like, you got to just push that aside. You guys, like, for as a prime example, we have something like 400 reviews, right? There's a couple negatives in there, not gonna lie. But like you have three negative out of 400.
Sure.
Like it's okay.
Yeah.
That's noise. Like you can't please everybody, right? So being okay with moving on past that is important. So it's, I think you just have to weigh what the issue is. And if it's an issue that's going to cause a risk to the business, B, it's going to cause hurtful damage to somebody that can get hurt or injury or whatever it might be. And in both of these industries, balance and in VO, there is a potential for that, right? If any of those things pop up, then that's not noise, right? If it puts any type of a risk on a person, whether it's a laser burning somebody or something like that, you have to be very, very careful.
Totally. Yeah. You got to figure out what's the small baton versus like
exactly
a quick refund for someone being late. It's going to go far more than if someone's actually getting hurt.
Exactly. And so like that's the noise that we deal with typically. And you just have to kind of move past it and carry on.
Nick, what do you see as the end game for VO, balance, and for you in this world?
If you ask my wife, she would say no more projects. And I agree. Stephanie, like, she has been like the biggest supporter of me. So like, I always told her, I said, balance is my last project. Like my last big project. I told her, I'm like, then it's like,
for now,
I guess that, right? No, it's just like, you know, we want to be able to like, you know, build something together. Like we're building this together. We want to build it together. And then, you know, one day, you know, see where it takes us. Right. But this is like, to me, you know, I told you earlier, 43 years old. And I think like I've come to a point where I'm like, this is like my baby now. And VO was our baby. But truth be told, you know, Joe and I don't have anything to do with the business really after we sold it to private equity anymore. Right. So we have our spas and we do manage those. But for the most part, from the growth of the company, we don't really have a day to day. And so this is a project where it's like my baby. It's my wife's baby. It's my brothers, my sisters, and, you know, and our partner Chase. It's like, this is what we want to help grow. And, my end game is to make sure that balance is successful, VO is successful, and my family is happy. Right. And that's the most important thing, right? Obviously, selling it would be great. Growing it to, you know, 50 to 100 locations would be great. And I know it's possible. We've done it with VO. But at the same time, I don't want to risk everything else that I have built already that I have, you know, at home. So there's a weighing option there between family and business. Like I've done it in consulting. I traveled a ton in consulting and it does put a lot of pressure when I'm gone from like when I worked consulted for Google, I would travel from Sunday to Friday and I would only be able to spend time at home on Saturdays, you know? So it's like, it's tough.
That's so tough.
So to me, growth is great. Family is more important. So like, can I make sure I can focus there? As long as I can focus there, then go and build it up. And then my end game is to be successful in it, whatever that means.
Sure. Yeah. It talks about the seasons, right? The seasons of life. You did all that. You've done all the traveling and the heavy, intense schedule. And now with the family, it's like, all right, let's put the real priority first, which of course is them. And then balances can take that secondary.
Exactly. And honestly, like my kids are getting a little bit older. They have more time in sports and I can go do all those things. And like I see a lot of my former colleagues missing out on those things. And like, to me, that's a huge blessing that I can be home, like have coffee with my wife every day. You know, we can spend more time together. Like that to me is more important than any amount of money, any type of success in the world. Right. So growing this would be great. Getting it to 50, 100 locations would be awesome. But the success is beyond that. And I think it's just whatever it is at that time, that's what the success is.
There's so much wisdom in that too, Nick, because it's people who, right, I'm trying to grow this. Like as someone trying to grow it, it's appreciating what you have to in the moment.
100%.
That's so imperative.
100%. And Stephanie reminds me of that all the time. You know, she's like, you have a lot here. Because sometimes you get a little frustrated in yourself and you're like, hey, I want to keep going. I want to grow. I want to do this. And sometimes you need to have that level set back, right? Some of that's the noise, right? You got to get rid of that noise. And you have a lot right now, right? So like you have a great family, you have healthy kids, you have a great brother and sister, great families, great in-laws, like all the things. So
one of your first projects, Nick, that kind of enamored me when I was researching this was that you completed a triathlon, actually at a very impressive pace too,
but while
we're at it.
Yeah, for sure.
How did that experience shape you and what did you take from it?
Oh man, triathlon is, I think it's probably one of the, I said swimming is a great sport. Triathlon is one of those sports that will test your mind through and through. And that's one of those that you have to train an extraordinary amount, right? And you have to have the time dedication for that training. So as I told you, like with swimming, like you have to kind of, you have some consistency and priorities and things like that. And which is why I make my kids do sports, because I'm like, it helps with time management.
Yeah.
Well, in the real world, because I started triathlon after college. So in the real world, I had to balance a real job and then I had to balance training. And you have to train 20, 30 hours a week, right? To make, to be successful in a triathlon, super successful in triathlon. And yes, yeah, through finishing my first Ironman was great. But then it's like, okay, then you get the itch and you're like, that's not enough. And then you have to go faster and faster and faster. And then you have this end goal of getting, you know, getting to Kona, which I actually never made it to Kona. But it's, you have to train. And so that shaped me to be a very time managed person, a very persistent person, and somebody that really thinks that in order to grow in life, like you have to like surround yourself with, hey, people that are going to push you, but also like things that are going to crowd your schedule. Because if you can crowd your schedule, you're going to create a little bit more efficiency in your life. So it shaped me who I am because I was able to do those things.
You do end up having to make it all work.
You have to make it work.
It's that or one of the balls drops. You're not going
to
let that
1,000%. I hear it all the time. People are like, oh, I don't have time to work out. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. Right. Oh, I have kids. Well, so do I. You know, it's like you have to get up. And so I get up at 4:45 every day and you make it work. And I get home and I can get them on the bus. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that everybody can do that. And there's no reason why you can't. It's just all in your head. And it's like, as you've, like I said, if you can actually crowd your schedule, you'll figure out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a puzzle.
100%.
I think people look at the puzzle and they're like, I have all these pieces. And it's like, well, maybe you just need to rearrange them.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it's full, the puzzle's done. It's like, well, maybe if you rearrange, you can get the picture that you want. Because you don't like the picture this puzzle has. Or sort of rearrange it and figure out what...
Such a great way to look at it.
Yeah, thank you. I was curious when I was thinking about this too, because I knew the triathlon training was maybe prior to all of this, right? Like you mentioned, after college. What advice would you give to 10-year-old Nick, your 10-year-old self or younger you, living the life that you have lived now, looking back?
Oh, man. Probably what I tell my kids. Trust the process, you know, trust yourself. Like you can believe in yourself. That's okay. Right. You're going to stumble. You're going to do things wrong. You know, like I said, I got in trouble. Sure. My kids will probably one day get in trouble, except for my middle child. He's like the goody two shoes. He doesn't do anything wrong.
Got it from you.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got it from my wife. So, you know, you're going to stumble, you're going to fail. You're going to do things wrong. But you got to keep going forward. Right. And it's okay to injure yourself in a run. It's okay to injure yourself financially in trying to do something bigger and better. Right. You just got to keep pressing forward and taking the chance to be successful.
You keep mentioning your wife and just the support system. How important is having that support system throughout life? And when do you know that you have it?
Because
I think that we feel like we're supported sometimes. Yeah. And then when different support comes along, we recognize that maybe that is actually more true of a support than what we previously had.
That's a fantastic question. The support system is huge because if you don't have that support system echoing in an echo chamber every single day, you're going to be in the back of the mind thinking like, am I doing something wrong? Right. So from my wife, from my brother, from my sister, from my parents, from, you know, in-laws, kids, like everybody in your corner is very, very important. The last thing I want to hear sometimes, you know, as a male figure of a family, right? A lot of times you hear from your kids, daddy, why do you got to work so much? Why do you work so much? You know? And like, that hurts. Like, it's like, oh man. But at the same time, you know, you have to realize like I work so much so that way your mom could stay home and you guys can have a really great life, right? That's why I work so much. So like there's a balance there, especially in a very traditional family, right? And so having all the people to support you makes a big difference and makes that a lot more possible, right? So whether it's picking kids up from school or picking pigs up from soccer or other practices, swimming, whatever it is, having that full support system to allow you to go and do things to be successful helps, right? I'm sure my brother would tell you the same thing. My sister would tell you the same thing. My wife would tell you the same thing. Is like, you have to have a support. Whatever that structure looks like, you have to have the support. when it goes to doing a sport, there is nothing worse, absolutely nothing worse than having nobody there to cheer you on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So true.
No, true. It's like you can go, you could do a marathon and you're like, I'm going to succeed in this marathon, right? And I'm doing it by myself. But I'm telling you what, like the whole day you're like, well, nobody really cares that I'm here. Like, that's what it's like. And if you're trying to build a business without this support system, that's exactly what it's like, right? It's miserable. You don't want to do it. And you get to the finish line. You're like, cool. Nobody's here to celebrate with me, you know? So like all the time, having a support structure is important.
Kind of in a different light. I think that collaborations are like a variation of a support system.
Yeah.
Throughout your career, I'm sure that you've had the privilege of great collaborations. Who have been your favorite thus far?
Oh man, we did a collaboration with MGK back in like, I think it was like 2022, and it was awesome. We did it at Marble Room. That was a really, really cool event. And we did it with some vendors that we use from the aesthetic world, partnered with him. It was a part of this like whole Forbes 40 weekend. It was a blast. That was a lot of fun. Joe had done some stuff with Stipe in the past, Stipe Miocic, and he was awesome. Just a really cool down-to-earth guy to meet. Joe knew him better than I did, but another cool collaboration to deal with.
It's fun when you can get something like that, right? I think MGK, Stipe too, are just real down and true Cleveland guys. They love the city. They're supportive. And yep. The city abroad, right? They love the city, yep. The city abroad, its people. And I think that they embody that in the way that they are too, because they are gritty like Cleveland's gritty. They are supportive of Clevelanders and what their missions are like Cleveland is. Even at that esteem, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Team. My brother would like to say, like, he would probably want me to say that he's the collaboration because he wants to be, you know, the mayor of Cleveland, but.
He's working on it though, right?
He's working on that.
Throughout the process, Nick, of starting a project to the finish, what piece of it is your favorite part and why?
I like seeing the end result. So it's hard when, you know, when I built the studios recently down in Charlotte and in Florida, I wasn't around to see all the building happening, right? So I saw the end result and I like the end result. And this project, though, I actually really enjoyed seeing this come to life little by little because you start to envision what's going on, right? Whether it's the metal wall and putting that up and seeing it kind of flow together, where you see the floor, maybe the reformers kind of showing up, like seeing it grow was awesome. And then obviously the most important piece was like, okay, guys, now we got to open the doors. Is it going to be successful? Is it going to do what we expect it to do? And seeing it be successful is like, you're like, big relief. You know what I mean? Because you put all this time and effort into it. And if it's not successful or then something's missing, you have to kind of like flip things around and figure it out, right? So we got really lucky with that. And I guess not lucky. I mean, all the hard work goes into it, right? So, yeah.
Thinking back to, I kind of want to go all the way back to your time at EY and in the consulting.
Yeah.
We've talked a great deal about the projects that you've done and the great success that they've had. There's a certain risk element that I think is inherent to being an entrepreneur that maybe is inherently opposite in the consulting, working for a big four, yeah, steady world. When did you realize that you'd be able to A, handle the risk, and B, what are your tactics then for knowing this is the appropriate amount of risk versus the consulting mind in you saying, I don't know about this?
So the entrepreneur word to me is tough. I don't consider myself an entrepreneur because I'm a very calculated risk taker, right? Very calculated.
That's what strikes me.
Yes.
That's why I'm like, this is kind of oxymoron.
I am a very calculated risk taker. And I'm the type of person, like, I'm not joking. I kept my career at EY even while helping build VO and opening spas and doing all the things, right? Because I was like, hey, I still got that and I'm still good. Like, it was like, I'm a very calculated risk taker. Entrepreneurs are the type of people that literally like, all in, let's go. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. My brother would be the definition of an entrepreneur, right? All in. If you heard his stories about starting a dry cleaner and then the next thing was, you know, tanning, and the next thing became a laser spa and then becoming VO, it was always like all in, all in, all in, right? Let's go. And he puts his chips to the table and you know, hoping for that big day, right? And VO was that big day. It's just that, you know, he did everything the right things and grow. But entrepreneurs, like, I'm a, like, when you go back to EY, just not a risk taker. I mean, I'm not in real life, like in general, I'm not a very big risk taker. And so I'm very calculated. So everything as like a spreadsheet that goes along with it, you know, hey, how is balance going to work? What do the financial models look like? And an entrepreneur in my mind is like, doesn't matter, who cares about that? Let's just go. Run with it.
So to banter with you a little bit, Joe's his name, yeah?
Yeah.
So Joe pushes all his chips in. And the first three times maybe weren't the big hit because we said the fourth one, VO, was. Yeah. So he had the persistency and the consistency that we talked about earlier in all of your models to ante up again, and then ante up again in order for it to work. So maybe some of that consistency and persistency is your version of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, because you have to have all of it. And I think that's what, again, going back to collaboration piece, you have to have all the different needs met. And it's probably not going to be by one lone individual.
Yeah. 100%. And honestly, I think you always have that support, going back to the support structure, right? He would tell you the same thing, is like, there's a support structure there, right? You have somebody there to help you if something goes wrong, right? And I think that's just as important for every entrepreneur out there, is like, do they have something to fall? Do they have somebody to help if they need it? Maybe not fall back on, but somebody there to help, right? And recently, so I told you my sister's going to be going to our studio in Strongsville. She's going to be leaving her teaching career, right? Yeah. Big step. And, you know, the first thing out of my brother's mouth to her was like, I got you. You know what I mean? And like, that, to me, that like hits home.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what she needed to hear to have the confidence to go to the next step. Right.
I think it's so special that it's family for you guys.
Yeah.
Too. And we haven't talked about the family business, but that can be for another day.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you have the support system in and of a family too is such a blessing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah. You have to. You have to have that support structure. You know, my sister's not married. She's not dating anybody, doesn't have kids, but doesn't mean she doesn't still want a support structure that's there for her. Right. So it's a big decision that she's making to do that. And I think it's the right decision. Truly, 100% it's the right decision. But she has to come to that conclusion herself first, right? And then realize, like, hey, people are here to help you and support you and grow with you and all the things. So
as we begin to wind down the conversation, Nick, we have a closing litany that we run through here on Chats
with Clark.
There's five questions that I'm going to fire off to you. The first one, I believe that people who live with gratitude on their minds and embody that mindset have better lives than those who do not. What role does gratitude play in your life?
Gratitude is everything. You know, I'm thankful to God. You know, I recently started reading the Bible, becoming closer to God, all the things. Very grateful for that. Grateful for family. I wouldn't be here without that. You know, gratitude is everything in the world. And if you can't show gratitude to people, to me, you're blocking your success. You're putting blinders on success because you're missing out on everybody that has been there for you, right? Gratitude is everything.
It really does create a sense of awareness.
Yeah.
Because then you start recognizing all of the people that were there for you, whether it was a one-off event, whether it's someone that's been there, like your wife who's been there through it all.
Yeah.
The second question is, do you have any regrets in your life? And if so, what have they taught you?
I have no regrets. Everything happens for a reason. You know, everything happens for a reason. You know, there was points in time where I thought, that's a regret, you know, at that given moment. But everything teaches you to be better, in whether it's right then or later, everything teaches you to be a better person, right? So no regrets.
It's the notion of trusting the process.
Yeah, trust the process.
You tell your kids that, because in the moment, as difficult as it may feel, or as much as you wish it were different, it will be.
Yep.
And then when you can look back on it, you can see why it was different.
Yeah. And like I said, going back to, you know, God has a reason for everything, right? So you have to trust that he has this plan for you to keep going through life, right? And whatever it is, there was a reason for it, right? We talked earlier about a friend of mine dying of ALS. You're in line at your line, right? There's a reason for that. Maybe it's because, hey, doing this is going to drive your son to be an incredible runner, right? Maybe, you know, and your daughter to be an incredible student, whatever it is, right? There's a reason for everything. And I think you have to trust that process.
I believe that life is a gift, and I think it ties in with the gratitude and regrets piece. So I position this question here on purpose. What is on your calendar that you're looking forward to that creates a zeal for life?
Creates a zeal?
Mm-hmm. Like an excitement about life. I think having something you're looking forward to on your calendar gives that excitement.
Yeah. Vacation with my family. Honestly, vacation with my family is the best. You know, we're going to Aruba this summer. to me, it's like the best time ever. You kind of like relax a little bit. All the kids have a lot of fun. They have big smiles on their face. You know, everybody in our family's going, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Side note on that, are you able to turn off from all this? Can you click into vacation mode or?
Yeah. I was just telling my wife this last night. No, I can't. Like, my mind does not let me shut off. I'm always trying to make sure that everything's okay and everybody's okay. I like to get to a point that I'm like, let's calm down, you know, and have the right teams in place to be able to do that. But I'm always connected. You know, I don't want anybody, and I did this even with Ernst & Young. I never want anybody to feel like they're lost because I'm not there, right? Or they can't do something because I can't answer their question. Mm-hmm. So I've done it my whole life, and I think to me it shows that there's a dedication, and it creates a little bit of camaraderie, right? You're not bothering me. I'm on vacation, but you're not bothering me, right? I want to make sure that you are okay, because if you're okay, then I'm okay.
And in turn, then I'm willing to bet that when you all are at dinner on vacation or whatever on the beach in Aruba, you're going to be fully committed to that too.
100%.
I'll get back to your question after. 100%. Well, if kids go to bed, whatever the case would be, it's like in that moment.
In that moment. Wow. Exactly. In that moment, you know, I'm in that moment. And even like I'm doing better at this, but like in the evenings with the kids, like put the phone down, you know, get through what you have to get through and then focus as much as you can. Right. So.
Fourth question.
Yeah.
Nick, when you lay down at the end of each day and you're reflecting on the day that you just had, what is it that you hoped to have brought to the world that day?
Happiness. Humbleness, happiness, gratitude, all the things, right? I want people to think that I helped them. I did something for them. I made them happy. One of my managers in Charlotte last week sent me a message and she goes, your energy like re-energized me, you know? And that was like the best compliment that I'd ever gotten in a long time. And I loved it. So, I hope that's what I can bring to people every day.
I hope our audience is feeling that right now too, because Nick, you do have great and infectious energy. That's what you want in a leader too.
Yeah.
My final question for you, Nick, do you have any advice that you would tailor to a specific sector of the audience or the audience abroad? Kind of like your closing thoughts.
Nothing specific to a specific audience, but to me, I say like, be good to everybody, you know, be generous to everybody, be good to people. You know, don't turn them away just because you know, they look different, act different or whatever they are. Be good to everybody. And then lastly, be humble. There's no reason why everybody in this world should not be humble. But I think that's the most important part of it.
Absolutely. That's part of why I do this podcast, is that I think that there's something you can learn, something you can take from every single person who's walked a different life than you, just inherently because they're different people.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's such a joy in it. So it ties in right to that, bringing happiness and joy to others in each day, as you answered number four. Nick, I can't thank you enough as we're sitting here in Balance. Thank you. Studio is beautiful. I hope you all have enjoyed the B-roll that you've gotten to see of this place throughout our conversation.
Appreciate that.
You're awesome. Thank you for being here. Thank Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't hit the subscribe button, I don't know what you're waiting on. We just keep delivering you top tier content here at Chats with Clark with an amazing guest like Nick Stanizek, who is your guest on episode 74 of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening.